So we can usher up our thanks, our thanksgiving, and our praise and honor and glory to Him. Father, we come before You today giving You honor, glory, and praise. We thank You for this beautiful day that You have made. Every day, whether it's sun shining, whether it's raining, whether it's snow, oh, Father God, is the day that You have made. And we will rejoice and be glad in it. And we will rejoice and be glad in it because, Lord, You made the day. So, Father, we thank You for this beautiful day, this sunshiny day. And this day that we celebrate all of the mothers, oh, Father God, we thank You for that. We ask, oh, Father, that You would just bless us the rest of the day and all the females, oh, Lord Jesus, just let them know that You are, that they're special, that You have just a wonderful, wonderful, special calling on all the women, oh, Lord. You created them, oh, Father God, for this day. So, Lord, we thank You for all of our women. We pray for our children. We ask, oh, Father God, that You would just put a hedge of protection around our children, consecrate them for the work of the Lord. As they grow up, oh, Father God, that they will grow up in the admonition of the Lord, oh, Father God. So, Lord, we thank You for our children. Lord, we pray for those who are being abused today, Lord, especially the elderly and women, that they will stop being abused. That's the day they will never be abused ever again. And those abusers stop them by any means necessary. We pray, Father God, for our government, that You create a clean heart and renew a right spirit within them, oh, Father, and put godly people in every area of their life. And they will seek wisdom from You, oh, Lord Jesus. Lord, we pray for our military. We honor our military and our soldiers. We thank You for them, oh, Father God. But, Lord, we ask, Father, that You put a hedge of protection around each and every one of them, too, and also their families. And, Lord, we pray for those who are traveling mercy by land, by air, and by sea. Just have Your way, Lord. We pray for the homeless and the hungry today. We pray for those who are addicted to drugs, alcohol, whatever the addiction might be, Lord. We ask that You break those chains. You are the only one can bring true deliverance, oh, Father God, from those strongholds of addiction. So, Lord, we ask, Father God, that You would touch everyone who are going through an addiction and have a stronghold, oh, Father God. We ask, oh, Lord Jesus, that this word that would come forth here today would be of You and You only and not of me. Lord, You must increase and I must decrease. And, Lord, not only me, but all of us. So, Lord, give us ears to hear today. Let it be no distractions. Let us not walk out the way we walked in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Children, I'm going to ask you to go to the children's church and behave and have a good time and learn about Jesus. Amen. Huh? If you turn your Bibles to the book of Exodus, Exodus 20. Exodus 20. Dana, I didn't know that was you up there. All I could see was the shadow. Praise the Lord. I'm glad to see y'all. Amen. Exodus 20. And Brother Russ, I'm so glad to see you. Now, let me ask you this. Are you supposed to be or you should be home resting? Mm-hmm. Don't overdo it. Yeah. Don't overdo it. You know, one thing about we men, you know, and yes, we want to do what we want to do, but sometimes we have to be still and heal. Amen. You know, and I'm the same way. You know, I'm the same way. You know, I'm supposed to be doing this and doing that or not being doing this and not be doing that. Next thing you know, I'm doing it. And then I regret it later on. Praise the Lord. But nobody in here other than me and Russ does that, right, men? No. Amen. Exodus 20, and I'm going to start in verse 12. Honor. Do we know what the true word of honor mean? To esteem, to exalt, to have respect, to honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. It says, honor thy father and thy mother. So today we're honoring the mothers. We're honoring the women. Today, that's what we're doing. And I call it the day of the mother, you know, happy day of the mother. Praise the Lord for that. Whether, once again, whether you have a biological child or not, God has made you and created you. And there's nobody else in the world can do what God has put in you to do. You hear what I'm saying? There's nobody else in the world, in the universe can do what you can do, what God has put within you. You know that God created us, men. He created us what? Out of the dust of the ground. Out of dirt. Right? He created the animals, you know, out of the dust of the ground and the dirt. But he did not create the woman out of the dust of the ground and the dirt. Do you know that? He created you, you know, out of the rib of a man. So you are special to him. You are very, very, very special to God. And always remember that. Always remember how special you are to God. So today, what we're going to be doing is honoring you. And what I want to talk about today is the women in the Bible. We want to talk about some of the women in the Bible and what how they were blessed. So the first woman we want to talk about is each and every one of our mothers. You know what her name is? Eve. Eve is the first mother that God created. Once again, it said God created man in his image and in his likeness. He created them male and female, and he created he them. And once again, we men, I take our hat off to our men, especially the single dads. You know, we do the best that we can, you know, for our children. But we cannot give our children what you, only you can give the children what they really need, you know, to be nurtured. Once again, you know, single dads, praise the Lord for that. But a single dad cannot give the children what you can give them. Only you can do that. That's how special that you are. That God put within you that only you can be there to nurture those children the way that they need to be nurtured, to be loved. Only you can do that. So what I'm saying to you, ladies, Eve, she was the first mother, and she had Cain and Abel. She had two children at first. That was her first children. She had more, but the first one was there. And the next one is Sarah. Sarah, you know, had God said that she was going to have a baby. And so throughout the years, she's waiting and waiting and waiting. And she got to a point where, by human biology, she was unable to have a baby, because after you get to a certain age, you know what I mean? Those functions of having a child, you know, they cease. But God thought she was so special that at 90 years old, at 90 years old. So I'm going to say this to some of you ladies, you think you hadn't had a baby yet? 90 years old. Praise the Lord. Mm-mm. And you know what happened? Sarah laughed when they told her she's going to have a baby. Some of y'all laughing now. But anyway, and before I get started, I'm sorry, because I want to honor and acknowledge, you know, one of the mothers of our church here. And that's Miss Streeter. Miss Streeter and Miss Remington, they are the mothers of the First Baptist Church here. You know, so we honor you. We honor you. I was hoping that Miss Streeter would be here today, but I know that you said that she's going to, hopefully she'll be here sometime soon, you know, because that seat is always for the both of y'all. And as I tell y'all, there's only two people that we have reserved seats for, and those are the mothers of the church. They're the matriarchs of the church. And when you get to be, have 60 years of service in this church, we'll get you a reserved seat too. But until then, nobody has a reserved seat. Amen. I know some of y'all like to sit where you want to sit, but if somebody comes in and sit in your seat, move to another one. Amen. Because nobody has an assigned seat here other than them two. So praise the Lord. And I'm so thankful to see you this morning. And once again, you know, they have over 120 years of service in this church together. So praise the Lord for that. But anyway, Sarah, at 90 years old, had Isaac. And so we go back down to Rebecca. Rebecca had Jacob and Esau. Then we go to Rachel. Rachel had Joseph. Then we go to Jochebed. Anybody know whose Jochebed's son was? Moses. Jochebed. Now that's a name for you, isn't it? This is the only time I've ever heard that name, Jochebed. Now, I don't know anybody else by the name of Jochebed, do you? Only this one. So, you know, she had Moses, who was deliverer of the Hebrews. Then we have Naomi. Naomi was a mother, but her sons died. But she had a daughter-in-law. She had two daughter-in-laws. And one went back to her country, but the other one stayed with her. And what is her name? Her name was Ruth. And matter of fact, she has a whole book in the Bible. But Ruth, she was an idolater. She come from idolatrous a nation. She was raised like that until she got with Sarah. And so, with Naomi. But she saw how Naomi and her family, they worship and they serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And she says, your God will be my God. Where you go, I will go. As long as God lives, I'm going to follow you because I want to live a life of righteousness and holiness. Now, once again, this was the in-law. So you mothers who don't have biological children, take this example that she has of Naomi. She was an example to not a biological, but somebody God put in your. And I know all of you know children or, like I say, sisters or brothers or nieces and nephews or kids in your neighborhood or whatever it is for you to be there to help them, to nurture them. And then also, I'm going to say this here. There's so many people out here, children, that don't have godly mothers. They don't have godly parents. But as you, as a godly mother, can say, listen, I'm sorry that your mother's not, but I'm going to show you the way of Jesus. I'm going to show you the way of Jesus. And then we have Hannah. Hannah was barren. She didn't have any children. And her husband had another wife, and her other wife, she was having babies every other day. Well, not every day, but. And so, you know, back then, if you didn't have a baby and you were barren, you was considered not worthy. You was feeling unworthy. And so she prayed, Lord, if you would give me a male child, she was very specific. If you would give me a male child, she said, I will give him back to you. And the Lord heard her prayer and he answered her prayer. And she had one of the most holiest men ever lived. And his name was Samuel, who has a book in the Bible also. And so it was her greatest possession. She had been waiting all of her life, adult life, to have a child. But when God gave her this gift, she said, this gift is not for me, it's for the world. So she gave the gift back to God. And he served in the temple, and he was raised up by a man of God. And he was one of the greatest prophets, you know, in the world that ever had. Then we have, in the New Testament, Elizabeth. Anybody know who Elizabeth's son was? John the Baptist. She was past childbearing age also. So ladies, that's two of them that's past childbearing age. And so she was conceived and she had John the Baptist, who was a cousin of Jesus. So we come to a place where as we have all of these women in the Bible that were God-fearing women. But we have some that wasn't also. We had the Shulamite woman that had a child also. We had the Canaanite woman that had a daughter. And her daughter was vexed with an unclean spirit. And she came to Jesus and she said, oh, son of David, I have a daughter that is vexed with an unclean spirit. And he says, this is for the house of Israel, not for the dogs. Called her a dog. Now, I don't know about you, but if somebody called me out of my name like that. You know what I mean? I'm going to say, all right, and turn away. But you know what? Because she was a mother, she said, yes, true, Lord, but the dogs eat the crumbs off the table. Because why? She was not going to take no for an answer. Why? Because she was a mother and she knew her child was in trouble. And she knew that only Jesus could deliver her child. Even though, once again, she was a Gentile, an idolater. But she knew that only Jesus can touch her daughter. And then we have the mother of all mothers. Let's turn to the book of Luke 2. Luke 2 and 7. I'm going to start in 1. 1 to 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent to God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth. And a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. Listen to what he said. The angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. He's speaking to all mothers. Hail, highly favored of the Lord. Because I'm going to tell you something. I am so thankful that he didn't favor me in that way. I told you all the time. I'm so thankful that God created me to be a male. Because I've seen babies born. I've been there when babies would come out of the mother, out of the womb. And there's no way that would happen to me. Mm-mm. I would be a nun. I would be a nun, you know, if God had created me to be a female. But I take my hat off to you, ladies, because just that experience of watching childbirth, and it's a wonderful experience for you. You know, it's a wonderful experience for you. I mean, it's an experience for me to watch it. Well, not really, but you understand what I'm saying? For a woman to give birth to a human being is one of the greatest honors that God has ever honored somebody. Highly favored, he said. Not just favored. Highly favored. You are highly favored. And then it says, and when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind, what manner of salutation this should be. What is he saying to me? And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found, here we go, favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great. He shall be called the Son of the Highest of the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of the fathers of David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever and the kingdoms there shall be no end. Then Mary said unto the angel, what you talking about? What are you saying to me? You know, the highly favored of God, you know, I understand that. But now you're going to talk about, I'm going to have a baby. And she says, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? How can it? Because this is unnatural. This is against the law of nature. Nobody from the creation of the world, even Eve, the first woman, didn't have that. From that time all the way here, you know, so I don't understand what you're talking about to me because I've never known a man. And the only way that you can get pregnant is know a man. And the angel answered and said to her, ooh, this gives me Holy Ghost goosebumps. And the angel said, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also the holy thing which thou shalt be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. He said, no, we don't want no fleshly or earthly man, because this child is special. Never happened ever before, and never happened ever after, that a child was born like that. So who is the father of Jesus? It's God. God the Father, God the Holy Spirit. Said the Holy Spirit will come upon thee. The Holy Spirit will impregnate you. You see what I'm saying? And now in the New Testament, when Jesus was born, he says, I must go away because I'm going to send you another. You see? And that other is living inside of you and me too. Now this might seem a little off to some of y'all. But if you're born again and you surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, let me tell you something. We are pregnant with the Holy Spirit. Hear what I'm saying? Because Jesus says, he says, I will send another to abide with you. And it says, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is living within us. So men, grab that gut. That Holy Spirit is living within you. And if the Holy Spirit is living within you, it will bring fruit. That will bring fruit out of you. But anyway, it says that. And the angel answered and said, the Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also the holy thing which thy shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age, in the sixth month of her who is called barren. For with God, not with medicine, not with science, for with God nothing shall be impossible. For with God, did y'all hear that? For with God nothing shall be impossible. The virgin birth. And that's something we as born again believers, that's one of the highest penance of our faith, is the virgin birth. A lot of churches do not believe of the virgin birth. But it says right here that this was a virgin birth from God, because nothing is impossible with God. Let me say something to you. Whatever you might be going through this morning, or might be going to go through, let me tell you, nothing's impossible with God. Not one thing. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me, be it unto me according to thy word. Let it happen. Come on, Holy Ghost. Do what you need to do. Let it happen to me as you said it. I believe what you said. Even though it's unnatural, it has never happened before. I don't understand how it happened, but nevertheless, Lord, be it unto your word. I believe you. And in that belief, we all know what happened in chapter 2, the 7th verse. And she brought forth her firstborn. You see, people doubted it. Joseph. Now, I'm going to tell you, if I was Joseph. But it was only that God spoke to Joseph in a dream and said, hey, she's telling you the truth. She ain't been with no man. She ain't stepped out on you. No. This is the Holy Spirit is the one who impregnated her. Now, you know, I'm going to tell you, it had to be an angel to tell me that. It would have to be an angel to tell me that for me to believe that. And she brought forth her firstborn and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. There was no room for them in the inn. Nobody would allow her to come in to have birth. But you know what? God wanted him to come in the world humbly. in a manger. Even though he was the Son of God, God said, I want him to be born humbly. He could have had the Hilton for him, but he didn't. Why? Because he wanted to bring him into this world to identify with each and every one of us, our struggles, our trials, our storms, and everything else that we go through. He wanted his son to come into this world lowly, not to be served, but a servant. And that's what he came into this world to do, to serve. And that's what he did. Not only that's what he did, that's what he's doing. And that's what he's always going to do, is to serve. And guess what? We ought to follow suit to that. We are to serve one another. The greatest commandment is what, church? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, and all thy mind. And the second one is what? Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Who is your neighbor? Look at the person sitting next to you. Amen. Look at the person sitting next to you. That's your neighbor. But you know what? We was talking about this the other day. How can you love your neighbor or somebody else if you don't love yourself? Amen. How can you love somebody else? You can't give something if you don't have it yourself. If you don't possess the love within yourself, how can you love? And I'm not talking about prideful love or thinking more highly of yourself than you ought to. But you need to love yourself because God loves you. So if God loves you, who do you think that you are, Mr. Man or Missy Lady, not to love yourself? Because you are created in the image and the likeness of God. And if God has created you in the image and the likeness of God, you should love yourself because God loved you enough to have you here today. Praise the Lord. How good is that? Whenever I start, you know, feeling unworthy, whenever I start listening to that old Slewfoot, you know what I mean? About all the stuff he's whispering in my ear. About them old days and the things that you've done in the past and, you know, this, that, and the other. You know, I'll look at him and say, look at the cross. Look at the cross. God made me worthy. God nailed that shame and that guilt on the cross, the same as he did those sins. So you're talking to the wrong one. Keep on moving. Keep on moving. Keep on stepping. And I'll tell you something else, you know, that we talked about. We've been doing a series Lord have mercy, what is it? The armor of God. Putting on the armor of God. So when the enemy comes to you, not if he comes to you, when he comes to you, because he's going to come to you, that you will be able to stand. Stand on the righteousness and holiness and the power and authority of God. Because the battle's not ours. It's the Lord's. That's who fights our battles. It's not us. Because when we try to fight our battles, he's going to defeat us every time. Every time. Vera, get up here. Come here. Now, I love Vera. You know, and sometimes, you know, I know that she gets a little upset with me for different things and that and other. Yes, you do. Yeah. But anyway, so let's say that she was livid with me. Let's say that she was just, you know, she had the end of it. And so she said, I'm going to fight you, Pastor. I'm going to whoop you, Pastor. Now, who you think is going to win? Who you think is going to win? I got you. I got you. You see what I'm saying? I don't even think she weighs 100 pounds. So what I'm saying to you is, we can't win with Satan. But God will fight our battles. Just hold on. Just like David and Goliath. She was the size of David. I was the size of Goliath. In his own strength, he couldn't do nothing. He says, I come unto you in the strength of the Lord. And we know what happened to Goliath. He got his head cut off. He got defeated. And that's the same thing with us, church. We need to go in the strength of the Lord. But getting back to the mothers, I want to say that, you know, the example of motherhood is through these women in the Bible. The example of being what God has created you to be and to do what God has created you to do. We can only do it through the strength of God. You mothers, some of you have made mistakes with your children, as well as we men have too. Yes, Lizzie.
I got a letter from our sister.
We're not going to go there. We're not going to go there. We'll talk about it afterwards. Okay. But what I'm saying is, the women, you are special. God has blessed you so much. He loves you so much. You are highly favored of God. So if you made mistakes with your children, let me tell you something. You can reconcile that. You can make it up. Amen? Because we've all made mistakes and wrong choices in our life. Amen? Praise the Lord. And for some of you ladies that don't have babies, do we have anybody in here over 90? But no, I'm just pulling your leg on that maybe. But just want to let you know how special that you are. You know, Elder Paul, he stole my thunder with Proverbs 31 because I was going to read that. But he came in and asked me, he said, Pastor, can I read Proverbs 31? I see that on my thing. And I said, yeah, go ahead. Go ahead and do it. But ladies, you are special. God loves you so much that he's given you a special commission, a special calling that no man can do. I don't care how strong a man might be, how rich a man might be, how smart a man might be. He cannot do what God has put within you, the commission that he's given to you. So today we honor you. Today, each and every woman here today, we honor you. Whether you have a biological baby or whether you're about to have a baby or whatever you might do, we honor you here today. I just saw a picture of Tim and Lita's grandchild. You know what I mean? When was born? Yesterday? Thursday? And the cutest little baby. Cutest little baby. I tried to smell his head through the phone. Her head. You know, I love smelling babies' heads. Y'all know that. Now, a lot of people think that's kind of different. Maybe more than different. I don't know. But this is just my aspect on that. When a baby comes out of the womb of a mother, that's a supernatural happening, isn't it? And I believe the smell in those babies' head is the closest thing to God than we can ever get to. A new birth, a gift from God that's coming out fresh, and smelling that baby, that freshness of that baby, where it's not been polluted by the smells and the things of the world, that's like smelling God to me. That's just me. You know, I love that. But once again, ladies, today is a day that we celebrate you. So I'm going to ask for all the ladies to stand up. All the ladies, stand up. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for who you are. You are special to God. And don't ever forget that you are special to God. You can be seated now. And with that, we're going to give every woman a flower to celebrate how special that you are. We're going to let you know that you're special. If I can get a couple of men, Scotty, if you can come here for a minute. Mikey, if you can come here for a minute. I was going to have the little kids do it, but they're down there at the church. Scotty, I want you to go around and give every woman a flower. Mikey, I want you to go on this side and give every woman a flower. Amen. Just give her one flower and then gone, gone. Praise the Lord. No, let him give this side here, and then okay, all right. Take one apiece. Everybody take one apiece. If we got some left over. Oh, Lord. All right. Every woman get a flower, whether you have given birth or not. Because once again, God has put within you something that only God can give. Okay, go up there, Mikey. Do you know what Mikey and Scotty is doing right now? They're serving. They're serving. They're serving you women. Because of how special that you are and how blessed that you are. Do we need some more? Okay. Yep, got more. Give everybody one, Scotty. Everybody. All right. Hey, man, can't help himself. He can't help himself. If y'all want to hug Scotty, hug him. Amen. I tell you, when Scotty first showed up here, you know what I mean? What a blessing he was. Oh, and what a blessing he is. You know, he's part of our family. And we love Scotty. And, you know, once again, we're the Whosoever Church. And so whosoever, you know, is welcoming to being a part of our family. And so I'm so thankful for Scotty, you know, and so many others, you know, those who come here. I'm thankful for each and every one of you, because once again, each and every one of us is created in the image of God. And God don't make no mistakes. I'm going to say that again. God does not make any mistakes. Nobody who was ever born is a mistake, regardless. Regardless of how you are, you're not a mistake. So many people try to say, you know, they're a mistake or they're broken or just whatever. No, 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 no. You're created in the image. God created you the way he wanted you to be. He created me to be a tall man. Amen? He created y'all to be short people. Praise the Lord. But we all created in the image and the like. Did every female, did y'all get them upstairs? No. Where's the flowers at, guys? I took flowers up there. George, get them flowers up there. Brother Gudemann, get them flowers and give them to them women up there. Perry, you might need to take a few more up there. We don't want not one lady to leave out of here without flowers. Got y'all's coming up there, ladies. Every one of you. Perry's coming up with some more. Amen. I just want to say this here to all of you. I am so thankful. I am so thankful for each and every one of you. You know, when we was up at our men's advance, we had some people from, had some guys from other churches or whatever. You know, and, you know, I told them, I said, you know what? I wouldn't trade not one of you. And I mean that. I wouldn't trade not one of you, because I love y'all to death. And I mean that. I love you just the way you are. I wouldn't change you not one bit. And I mean that. Not one bit. And I just want to say this here. I was so blessed yesterday at breakfast, you know, because I asked, who wants to bless the food today? And for the first time ever, and I've been knowing this man for a number of years, Mikey raised his hand and said, I'll pray over the food. Oh, I tell you, it just blessed me tremendously. Because we know Mikey and we love our Mikey. Amen. But when Mikey prayed yesterday, I'm going to tell you, it was powerful. It was so powerful. But I see how God is lifting and raising, you know, and doing things in our church where people, you know, used to, you know, oh, I can't pray. Oh, you know, now people are stepping up and stepping out. That's how I measure church growth, not by numbers. Not by numbers, but by how I see each and every one of you are being just how God is just using and elevating you in so many areas. Everybody in here has a gift, and some have more than one gift, you know, but so many times we sit on our gifts and we don't use our giftings. But God wants you to use what he has put in you, the giftings, and we all have giftings, and it's all not the same gift. They're all not the same gift. But God has given you something. Find out what your gift is and start walking in it. And if everybody in this church would walk in the gifting that God has given you, we could turn this whole city upside down. And then it would spread from the city to the county, from the county to the state, from the state to the nation, from the nation to the world. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So don't be afraid to step out. Don't be afraid to walk in your giftings. And you say, well, you know, I don't know what my gifting is. Come to one of the elders or one of the leaderships of the church, or and you ladies, you know what I mean, go to some of the ladies' meetings or whatever, and we will be able to try to help you point out what your gifting might be. It might be, you know, gift of helps. That you like to help people. There's a lot of people just like to help people. Gift of administration, gift of praying for somebody. You know, we all have different giftings. Gift of singing. Now, I know some of y'all can sing, but you've been sitting and not singing with your gifts. Some of y'all starting to move a little bit. Mm-hmm. So I'm saying, you know, God didn't give you a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. Start walking in those giftings, church. Amen. If there's anybody here that needs prayer this morning, you know, the altar will be open for you. The altar will be open for you, and we have somebody to pray for you. You know, if you're going through sicknesses or some different things, or you're struggling in different areas in your life or whatever it might be, you know, we're gonna say the altar is open for you if you just want prayer here this morning. But I just want to say to each and every one of you, you know, thank you. I love you. God bless you. And you women, happy day of the mother. Happy day of the mother. Go enjoy and celebrate. Go enjoy and celebrate and just be blessed in this day. Father, we come before you today giving you honor, glory, and praise. I want to say thank you, Lord, for being God and God alone. Lord, we thank you for the mothers. We thank you for the women who you created, oh Father God. We just ask, oh Lord, that as we walk out of here, every woman will walk out just knowing that she's honored, knowing that she's highly favored of the Lord, knowing that you have created these women different from any creation that you've ever created. So Lord, I thank you, Father God, for our women and our mothers. We ask, oh Father God, in the days and the nights and the weeks and months and years to come, that we have a greater desire to serve you more and more each and every day. We pray these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen.